Today's going to be a great day, a lot of great things to celebrate, but let's get into God's Word. Everyone say God's Word. Very good. If you don't know what that means, it means the Bible. We teach the Bible. Here's a Christian church. Who here hates to lose? Raise your hand. Who here hates to lose? Okay, yeah, if you didn't raise your hand, loser. Yeah, everyone hates to lose. We all love to win. How many know that's just a fact of life? Everyone wants to live. We even make jokes about it. Somebody comes in second. What do we say? Ha ha, first loser. We just think they're the worst. Everyone in the world loves to win. Case in point, I was at a breakfast buffet the other day doing God's work. And I was in line to get a crepe. And there was this girl in front of me. She's a teenage girl. And behind me are two little girls. Yes, I was the only grown man in the breakfast buffet line getting a crepe. And I'm standing, I'm really, really excited about the crepe, but this place had really good crepes, which I don't normally eat, but I wanted this one. And these little girls are in front and behind me, and all of a sudden this little boy comes and he stands next to me. And in my mind, I said, this is not going to happen. There is no way this little kid is getting a crepe before me. It's not happening. And I'm trying in my mind to rationalize how I can get this crepe before this kid while still remaining the pastor of this church. And luckily, the worker saw the little boy and ushered him to the back. Say, hey, no, you got to go to the back of the line. And so he did. And so all was well in the world. I got my strawberry crepe with maple syrup. And as I got it, I turned around and stuck my tongue out at him as I walked by. It's everybody wants to win. How many know that's true? Everyone wants to win. Today we're starting a brand new series called Winning. Everyone say winning. And it's all about setting up ourselves, our lives, so that we would win God's way. There's a big difference, if you don't know this, there's a big difference between winning the way the world wants you to win and achieving the wins of the world. There's a big difference between that and the way God wants you to win. And God has given us strict instructions, and He's given us ways in which we can set ourselves up to win the way God wants us to win, and it's awesome. So the next several weeks, I want you to make sure that you are here and you're part of this series, because I really believe that God's going to work through this time together as we talk about the key ways in which God says we can win. It's going to change your life. It really is, because everyone wants to win. Everyone. And so as we discuss that today, we're gonna just say, how? How do you win? Do I have to push somebody else off the track? Do I have to trip them up? Do I have to cheat? Do I have to steal? Do I have to cut in front of the little kids so you can get a crepe first? Maybe. No, that's not right, boys and girls. How do you win? It's the question everybody's asking. You ask it in certain ways, in different ways. You might say, well, how do I become more successful? How do I have better relationships? These are winning things. You want to win. How do I get more money? And this is what you're asking is, how do I win? How do I get on top? How do I get out front? How do I make it through? How do I have victory? Winning is ultimately victory. Victory means to conquer. I've conquered this situation. I've conquered this circumstance. I've conquered this whatever it is going on in your life, and you have something. Who here needs a W right now? You need a W. There's way more people in this room that need a W. Some of you are like, you need a W because you need to go to the gym so you know how to lift your hand. Just so much work. We all have some area in our life, some place in our life, some issue going on in our life. Man, I need a win. I need a win. I know for a fact there's a large majority of a family here. You need a W. You need a win. So how do we do that? How do we have a win? I want to talk to you, this is one of the many things we're going to talk about over the next several weeks, about a key issue that I think that our society fights against every single day. And that's this. If I'm going to win, I win when I'm in godly community. I want you to read it, say it, and write it. Everybody, let's read it out loud together. Ready? One, two, three. I win when I'm in godly community. Now, I want you to read it in a way in which you believe it, not because I told you to read it. I want you to make this a declaration so you understand. Now, I know some of you, maybe church is a new thing for you. Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, if I walk into church, the church is going to fall down. Well, it didn't. Okay, so let's just kind of own this for a second, and I'm going to explain to you why it matters in your life. Everybody, one, two, three. I win. Good. Some of you need to work on your reading timing, but that was good. You did a great job. I win. We all win when we're in godly community. The other day, I was talking to a pastor, and he was telling me that at his church, they had a missions conference, not too unlike we had last week. And the missionaries all came from all over the world, and they're having a missions conference, and then they had a guest speaker come in, a missionary, he was speaking and sharing, and it was a great time. And after the service, the pastor said, "Hey, my wife and I would like to take you, the missionary, and your wife out to dinner. Would you guys like to come?" He says, "Oh, man," he goes, I appreciate it, but we're really tired. We're going to go back to the hotel, and we're going to rest and just relax." And he's like, "Okay." So he says to the pastor, turns, says to his wife, says, "Hey, the missionary's going to go back to the hotel. They're tired. They're going to rest." Just makes perfect sense. So the wife says, "Okay," and he says, "But I'm going to take you out to dinner." And the wife is like every other wife, like, "Woohoo!" Because women love to be taken out to dinner because then they don't have to cook or microwave something. So they go to the restaurant. That's our culture, isn't it? They go to the restaurant, and the pastor is sitting there with his wife eating, and then in walks the missionary and his wife. Super Aco Taco. Anybody ever been there before? And so they're sitting there, and the pastor's like, "Oh, there's the missionary." The missionary has to walk by the table, and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" They're like, "Oh, you know," kind of, you know, sheepishly, a little red, and then like, "Okay." And so they're talking. So the whole point is they wanted to go to dinner, just not with them. Just not with them. Why is it, think about this, why is it that we spend so much of our time avoiding community? We spend so much energy and so much time avoiding people. We're the last ones to arrive and the first ones to leave. We sit in the back row. We sit in the back booth. We don't want to take phone calls. We do all these things, whatever it is for you, to avoid community. I don't want to be around people. And we make it so awkward, and our culture kind of feeds into that whole situation where you just kind of like almost want to be a loner, you know? That Geico commercial, "I'm a loner, and a loner's always got to be alone." Am I the only one who's seen that commercial? And then he smacks his face on the sign. Nobody's seen that? Well, maybe I'll show it to you next Sunday. Now, I know that people have different personalities. I know that some of you are extroverts and some of you are introverts. And some of you shift those verts whatever day you're in. Some of you thrive where you're a large community. You love being around lots of people. You love kind of like this vibe of, man, just energy of being around tons of people. We're having a good time. I love being around people. And I love big family events, all those things. You're like, yeah, I love it. Some of you, you thrive in a little smaller group. You know, maybe 10, 15 people, maybe 5. You're like, I'm kind of a small group person. That's kind of like my jam. And some of you thrive in really small groups. You're a one-on-one person. You're a one-on-two person. You kind of get together 2, 3, 4 people. You're like, man, that's my max. Whoever can fit in my car, and that's it. That's why I drive a smart car. Whatever it is, you like smaller community. I get it. But do you know where you never thrive? Alone. Never will you thrive alone. Do you know what that's called? It's called solitary confinement. They do that as a way of punishing people or to mess with their heads. We're like, well, I'm just going to do it by myself. I'm fine by myself. One guy told me after first service that I had convicted him so much. He goes, the only reason I hang out with myself is because it's the only time I can have an intelligent conversation. And I said, thank you very much. You never thrive alone because you're not meant to. God didn't design you that way. It's called solitary confinement. The problem is that some of you have placed yourself in solitary confinement. You've placed yourself in social, solitary confinement. I'm only going to, it's us four and no more, and I'm not going to do anything else, anybody else. I want to be by myself. I want to be alone. Leave me alone. I'm going to, you know, we do this all, and our whole connection with people now, oftentimes, is just with social media. Those are my friends. The problem with solitary confinement, however you want to place it in your life, is it causes all kinds of psychological problems. See if you can relate to any of these. Are you ready? It causes distress, anxiety, stress, depression, hopelessness, anger, irritability. Anyone? Hostility, panic attacks, social withdrawals, problems with attention, concentration, memory, cutting kids in front of the crepe line. Can you relate to any of those things? I'm not going to make you raise your hand or ask you to right now, but I mean, all of these things I just read are social problems. They're psychological social problems, and I think one of the key factors in our life is that we have isolated ourselves from godly community. And we need godly community. We say, well, I'm too busy for church. I'm too busy for... Yeah, no, those church people are weird. Yeah, but you're just as weird, so welcome to the club. What we recognize here in church is that we need Jesus to help us with our sin. That's the difference. And we isolate ourselves so much, and then we can't figure out why we're not winning. You're not winning because you're not meant to win by yourself. God never created you to win by yourself. In fact, I'll prove it. Genesis chapter 2, the second book in the Bible, and God just created Adam. And he created Adam, he says, man, he made him in his image, he said, he's good, and this is what he said. Then the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for Adam to be alone. I'll make a helper who's just right for him. So then God creates Eve, and Eve becomes his wife, and God says, man, community's awesome when a husband, a man, and a woman come together in marriage, and that's great community. You know what the very next thing he told them was? Be fruitful and multiply. Build your community. Have a family. You need to have lots of babies. You're like, oh, that church just tells you, you know, to have babies. Well, that's what God said. That's what God said. And then he says it multiple times through the book of Genesis and Scripture. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Expand the borders of your tent. And then later on, when Jesus comes and he dies on the cross and rises from the dead because he's alive forevermore, then he tells the disciples, listen, I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses. Go into all the world and what? Make disciples. Build godly community all over the world. Godly community matters to God, and it should matter to you. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, why is godly community so important? Why does it matter? Why do I need it? Why do I need to stop saying, I don't have time for church, I got too much business, I got this going on, I got whatever it is you have going on, and you avoid godly community? I'm going to tell you something right now that is probably going to make you wiggle a little bit, okay? But just know I love you. The reason godly community is so important is because of this. You are who you hang out with. Come on, somebody. You know this is true. You know this is true. Have you ever, who has ever heard that before? You know, when you were a kid, your parents probably always had that one kid. They're like, man, I really wish you'd stop hanging out with Johnny. No offense to anyone here named Johnny. We love you. Now, except in my case, the parents would say, just, I wish that my kids would stop hanging out with Zach. It's still a little hurtful. You know that principle, you are who you hang out with, is extremely biblical. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. So that means the opposite is true. Good company improves my character. Godly company improves my character. So Paul's dealing with this issue in the Corinthian church. Why he wrote this is because he had this group of people that were teaching the other Christians that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And Paul says, hey, don't be misled by that bad company. That bad company you keep, it's corrupting your character. Don't listen to them. You need to be around a godly community. If you think about it in your life, what is it? Who is it that you spend the most time with, that's affecting you? For instance, if you spend a lot of time, the majority of your time is with people who swear, chances are you're going to be a person who has potty mouth. If you spend the most of your time with someone who or a group of people who drink too much, chances are very high you are going to be a person who drinks too much. This studies prove this. If you spend your time, a majority of your time, with people who are fit and get in shape, or at least attempt to, chances are very high you will lose weight. If not, you at least get to eat all the donuts. If you spend the majority of your time with people who are far from God, chances are very high it'll weaken your relationship with Jesus Christ. You guys know this to be true. You already know this is a principle of relationships. You are who you hang out with. And the Bible proves it. It says, man, you are who you hang out with. It matters. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Answer, nothing. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Nothing. They're not buddies. Righteousness and wickedness don't go to the movies together. Light and darkness don't hang out on Sundays. They're complete opposites. They don't have any camaraderie together. They don't jam. And so it says, don't be unequally yoked. He's using an agricultural term, an analogy here that everybody who heard this would have understood. We don't understand it because none of you are farmers. If you did, you probably would have like a Kubota or something. You wouldn't have an ox. So the principle is, if you yoke two animals together, that's that big thing that goes over their shoulders, and then behind them is the plow, okay? And then they yoke the same animals together, they're partnering together in community, and they're able to have more strength, right, and plow and do the work. No one would ever come to the farm and say, honey, I got to go plow the lower 40. I'm going to grab the ox. Why don't you get little Bobby over there to bring up the bunny? And I'm gonna yoke them together, and then the ox is going to walk and the bunny's going to hop. God uses so much common sense in the Bible. I want you to pay attention to it. No one would do that. It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's laughable. But yet we do it all the time. In our life, in our relationships. He says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't have friends and family members that don't know Jesus. You should be the influencer in those relationships. You should be the one to say, hey, you know what? I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to show you what it's like to follow Jesus. I want you to understand what it's like to be in God's community. I'm influencing you for that. The problem is when we spend the majority of our time with people who don't know Jesus, guess what? It rubs off. It really does. And you know this to be true without me even saying it. You can think of relationships right now that are probably a detriment to your faith. I'm not saying you should cut them off. I'm not saying you should pull out your phone right now and unfriend them on Facebook, which is the death knell of every great relationship. What I'm saying is there's a principle here in which God is teaching us that we need, our spirit needs godly community. And we need to have a relationship with other people who follow Jesus. With other people who follow Jesus. And the problem with being unequally yoked with another animal is that it caused a stronger one and a weaker one, and they would just go in circles. And this is how they would plow. Some of you, I'm describing your whole spiritual life right now. You're just going in circles. And you're like, man, why can't I make any headway? Why can't I win? Why can't I get ahead? Because you just keep going in circles because you're unequally yoked with whatever it is. We do this all the time in relationships, in business, friendships, even some in marriage. You're going to have to ask God and get wisdom how to deal with that and how to grow in that area so that you would become more godly in your relationships and have godly community. Did you know that Jesus spent the vast majority of his time in a small group? The 12 disciples. Godly people who said, I want to follow Jesus. And you know what those guys did? They changed the world. The reason we're a church today is because those guys hung out with Jesus in a small group. The other reason godly community is so important is this. You're better when you're in godly community. Everybody say better. You're better. How many like things to get worse? Just a test. Just making sure everybody's paying attention. No one would say, man, Monday, it's tomorrow. I hope things just really hit the fan. I'm just planning on disaster. It's going to be awesome. No one would ever say that. Why? Because you instinctively want to win. You instinctively want to get ahead. You instinctively want things to improve, don't we? Amen. That's what you want. God created you that way. That's why God says follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate winner. He conquered death and the grave. so that we, through him, might win also. We're better when we're in godly community. Have you ever cut anything with a dull knife? Anybody? Yeah, okay. One of the most dangerous fruits in the world is an avocado. Did you know that? Because people take a knife, they're usually a dull instrument, and they try to get there, and they hit the seed, and then they shank themselves. Right? They stab themselves a lot of times in the gut. You never cut. Lesson, you're welcome. You never... I'm going to pull out my knife. Don't be afraid, anyone. I always carry one. You never cut this way. Some of you, I just saved your life. You are welcome. You are welcome. And so you never did. Avocados, they get a dull thing and they cut. Some people have cut their fingers completely off from an avocado. Dangerous fruit. Dangerous fruit. You're better when you're sharp. You're better when you're sharp. You're better when you're together. Watch this. Proverbs 27. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do you know what it takes to sharpen a blade? Friction. It takes closeness. It takes camaraderie. When you're together and you're rubbing each other, you're actually chipping away the flaws, and you're actually making yourself. It means that there's somebody in your life, there's a group of people in your life that have the audacity to say, hey, you know what, I love you, but let's grow in this area. You have a group of people in your life that say, hey, you know what? I feel like this issue has gone on in your life, and it's really kind of made you dull. It's really made you suffer, and I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. And as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It makes you better when you're in godly community. No axe has ever laid in the forest floor and woke up one day and said, oh, look, I'm sharp. It needs something else to help it. Am I just speaking enough common sense for you right now? And we miss some of these practical things in life, and it takes that intention out of that friction. The other reason godly community is so important, write this down, you're stronger when you're in godly community. Everyone say stronger. Okay, I'm getting older. I know this. Every single day, I'm not as old as some of you know. I'm not as old as Lynn. Today's his birthday. He's 70 today. But I'm catching up. Now, I notice that as you get older, your muscles naturally start to atrophy. You actually get weaker as you get older. It's just natural anatomy. So the other day, last Sunday was our mission Sunday. It was pouring down, raining sideways. How many remember that day? It was nasty. And so I get out of my car and park where the leaders park, and I got my umbrella, which I don't normally have, but it was really raining. And I didn't want to, you know, preach soaking wet. And so I got my umbrella, got my coffee, got my backpack, everything. I'm walking up, and I take a little step. Right up here, there's this little tiny hill. I mean, it's probably this high, which is a mountain, apparently. And I put my foot on it, and I ate it so hardcore, so bad. Mud was dripping off my hands, and I got mud all the way down my pants, and my coffee went flying, my umbrella went flying, my backpack went flying, everything went flying, and no one was there to help me. So I'm laying on the ground, I'm like, help! Help! And no one's coming. I'm all by myself. Like, I had to help myself get up, and I had to walk myself over, and then I have to recount the story to everyone. Thankfully, no one got it on video. It was bad. Now, luckily, I didn't hurt myself. Now, coincidentally, I know another person who fell this week, and when they fell really bad. And they said to me afterwards, thank God so-and-so was there because they helped me up. How many know life is so much better when you have people around you to help you up? When something happens in your life that you don't know why it's happening, and you have people around you that say, you know what? I'm going to help you up. I'm here. I don't know the answer, but I want you to know that I'm a hand, I'm a shoulder, I'm a voice, I'm a prayer, I'm a friend. Because you're stronger. Look what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, two are better than one. How many? Two. It doesn't say one is better. It says two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, like the pastor, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. No one who has community to help them walk through the times in which the enemy might knock them down, or they go through a difficult time. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can anyone keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Do you see the principle here? That you're stronger when you're together. You're stronger when you're in godly community. Stop avoiding it. Stop putting yourself in your own self-made isolation, your own little solitary confinement. You need God. If you're going to win in life God's way, you absolutely, hands down, Bible proof, you need to be in godly community. And so do I. You have to have it in your life. So the question is, what does godly community look like? And how can I get involved? What does it look like? Now, Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And then when that happened, he told the disciples, he says, I'm going to give you power via the Holy Spirit and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell people about me everywhere. And he goes, and I want you to go do that. I'm going to give you strength to do that. Go build godly community. He says, okay. So then next thing happens, the Holy Spirit comes as Jesus promised. And then Peter, one of the apostles, he stands up, he gives the first evangelistic message in the history of the church. And thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, they have this huge problem. What are we going to do with all these people? And they start forming, dun-da-da-da, godly community called the church, which Jesus said, I will build, and no one's going to stop me from building it. And look at what this godly community looked like. It's a great example for us here at Fusion Christian Church. Acts chapter 2. It says, they devoted themselves, who? The believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Great community. Who here likes M&Ms? Now, I don't know if you've watched it. Being a candy professional, as I am, I do pay attention to M&Ms. Even though I don't eat very much, I do like the peanut butter ones. Have you ever paid attention over the past handful of years how many different types of M&Ms there are now? Right? There's not just regular M&Ms, but there's peanut butter M&Ms. Thank you, Lord. There's pretzel M&Ms. There's pretzel M&Ms. That might be the work of the devil. But anyway, there's caramel M&Ms. Right, caramel, right? There's peanut M&Ms. There's Valentine's M&Ms. There's Christmas M&Ms. They're probably going to come out with M&Ms for your dog. I don't know. They're going to have all kinds of M&Ms. So I want you to think about this because I want you to think how sweet it is. Everybody say how sweet. Watch how sweet it is, the godly community. Watch what happens. I'm going to read it to you. Look at the things that happen right here on godly community. The winning M&Ms of community. Watch. I want you to pay attention because I want to put it in a way you understand. Here's the sweetness that happened when people come together in godly community. This is what happened in the early church. There becomes a major focus on the majors. What are the majors? Prayer, apostles' teaching, the preaching of God's word itself, generosity, serving. All these things are the M&Ms of a winning community. And that begins to happen when we come together. Then there's miracles start happening. All of a sudden, people start praying for other people and they get healed. We're going to be doing that today. All of a sudden things happen. Like, I don't know what just happened here. I can't explain it, but God did something. And then the miraculous starts happening. And then money and material possessions are given for ministry. All of a sudden people realize what I have is not my own. It belongs to the Lord, and I'm going to use it for godly ministry, building godly community. And then they started meeting in God's house, became a priority. They did the Hebrews 10:25. They stopped ignoring and stopped, denying their meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but they encourage each other all the more as the Lord's coming drew near. And then they had meals and ministry happening in homes. Did you know that hospitality is actually a prerequisite for leadership? And then magnification of God becomes commonplace. In other words, the worship of God becomes something that's priority in the people of God and the community of God. And then what happens with all that? Ministry is multiplied. People start saying, hey, what do you go to that church up down there off Wynez Road? Yeah, I do. Those people, I kind of met a few of you people. You're kind of cool. What happens? Well, we have a lot of food, and we just love God, and we love each other. People are craving that. They're craving it because we live in a world that wants to isolate everyone. So what I want you to do with all this information I'm telling you this morning, I want you to join a small group. I want you to make God's house a priority. I'm trying to set you up to win. Not because these are ideas I came up with, this is what God's word says. I'm setting you up to win. You fail when you're alone. You fail when you're alone. But you win when you're in godly community.